Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Grammar Girl here. I'm Mignon Fogarty, and you can think of me as your friendly guide to the English language. We talk about writing, history, rules, and other cool stuff. And happy National Grammar Day, which is March 4th, when a lot of you will be listening to the show. You can find some fun songs and stories and other diversions at nationalgrammarday.com. And next week, I'll have the winning poem from the ACES National Grammar Day Poetry Contest. But today, I'll answer a timely word question, and then I have a big, fun follow-up about the word pairs segment from last week. First, Doug wrote, "With the recent invasion of Ukraine, I've heard several news, military, and political commentators say materiel with regard to what I've gathered through context clues is supplies, especially military in nature. And I don't know if this is a real accepted word in English with its own distinct definition, or if people are using the foreign pronunciation of material and just trying to sound smart." Well, thanks for the question, Doug. Materiel is indeed a word of its own, but it's a direct borrowing from French. It's spelled with an E instead of an A near the end and often has an accent mark above the first E. So it's M-A-T, accented E, R-I-E-L. And you're right that it's mostly come to mean military equipment and supplies. And both the Oxford English Dictionary and Edom Online say it's used as a distinction from personnel. So countries can send both personnel and materiel. Personnel also comes to English directly from French, although there may also be a German connection. The OED has the first example with a militaristic meaning in 1819 for both words. And I couldn't find a reason they hopped into English. 1819 is well before World War I. France and the United Kingdom were both involved in the Hundred Days War in 1815, just a few years before personnel and materiel came into English. So maybe that could have been the time the French words became familiar to the British, but I'm just guessing. Thanks for the question.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. Hey, it's Mignon. Do you need a new literary show to add to your podcast queue? Well, then you definitely want to check out Missing Pages, the chart-topping and Signal Award-winning podcast produced by the Podglomerate. Back for a brand new season, Missing Pages investigates the most pressing topics in the book world today, from the rise of Colleen Hoover and book bans across America to the world of ghostwriting. Not to mention, host and acclaimed literary critic Beth Ann Patrick interviews some of the biggest names in the industry, like New York Times bestselling author Jodi Picco and Publishers Weekly co-editorial director Jim Milliot. And as the Washington Post and the Guardian said, Missing Pages is a, quote, must listen. And I agree. So don't miss out. Follow Missing Pages today on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening now. Hey, it's Mignon. If you want to do more to hone your communication skills, then check out Think Fast, Talk Smart, produced by the Stanford Graduate School of Business and hosted by my friend and Stanford lecturer, Matt Abrahams. You may remember Matt from his interview on the show back in September when he shared his top tips for becoming a better writer and speaker. Think Fast, Talk Smart is his Webby award-winning podcast, which has been downloaded 41 million times and has been the number one career podcast in more than 95 countries. So you know it's worth your time. Whether you're making a wedding toast or presenting at work, strong speaking skills are critical to success in business and in life, which is why Matt sits down with experts every week to talk about the best tips to unlock your communication potential. Hear from pros like neuroscientist Andrew Huberman on how to manage speaking anxiety, speechwriter and best-selling author Dan Pink on how to take risks in your communication, and psychologist Kelly McGonigal on how to harness nervous energy to fuel powerful presentations. So what are you waiting for? Listen to Think Fast, Talk Smart every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. And tell Matt I said hi. This listener had a great question about last week's segment on binomials.
Hi, Grammar Girl. I have a question about binomials. I was just wondering if the common ones, salt and pepper, ham and eggs, etc., are the same in other languages. Do they also put salt before pepper and ham before eggs and so on and so forth? Or are binomials unique in different languages? Thank you.
This was a brilliant question, and I knew from my reading last week that linguists who speak other languages have studied binomials, but I didn't know the answer to this question, so I asked my Twitter followers, who gave me a bunch of interesting answers. I threw out four examples, and this is what I got. Salt and pepper. These appear in the same order in Arabic, Finnish, German, Hindi, Japanese, Russian, Spanish, Swedish, and Vietnamese. But they're reversed in Dutch, and French is really interesting because apparently it goes different ways for different things. Someone told me it's salt and pepper when talking about food, but pepper and salt when talking about the color of someone's hair. And as you'd expect, culture plays a role in this too, because not everyone uses salt and pepper in lots of dishes. A follower from southern India says they don't use a lot of pepper and instead talk about salt and red chili powder. And a Chinese follower said you don't typically find salt and pepper on kitchen tables in China, but they do have a condiment called pepper salt that's a mixture of pepper and salt. I also asked about ham and cheese, and in retrospect, of course, this is heavily influenced by culture because it's not a meal that's eaten everywhere, and sometimes it just has the English name because it's an import. For example, it's called ham and cheese in Japanese, but only because that's what it's called in English. People told me it's called ham and cheese in Arabic, French, German, and Spanish, but it's reversed to cheese and ham in Swedish and Dutch. And it appears it can go either way in Portuguese, and I was very surprised to hear it's often called cheese and ham in British English, too. Bride and groom was all over the place. It's the same in German, Swedish, Telugu, a language from southern India, and Vietnamese, but reversed in Chinese, Hindi, Japanese, Korean, Spanish, and Russian. A Finnish follower says they don't have a consistent way of saying it, and a French follower says they don't say it as a binomial because the words for bride and groom are spelled differently but pronounced the same, so it would make sense. Heads and tails was the last binomial I asked about, and again, quickly realized culture plays a role because everyone's coins don't have heads and tails. And in fact, I realized American coins don't have images of anything resembling a tail. So tossing a coin goes way back. In Roman times, they'd call heads and ship, or Caesar or ship, because the coins had an image of Caesar's head on one side and a ship on the other. In the Middle Ages, it was sometimes cross or pile, because the coins had a cross on one side, and then the reverse side was called the pile from the French word for the reverse of a coin, according to the Oxford English Dictionary. Now, many countries' coins today do have someone's head on one side, and then it seems that we call the other side tails because it's something of an anatomical opposite of the head. People use the heads and tails order in Arabic, Finnish, German, Hindi, Swedish, Telugu, and Vietnamese. It's similar in some forms of Spanish where they say face and crown. Both Mexico and Russia have coins with eagles on one side, and they call eagle or sun and eagle or tails, respectively. In French, they have an expression like can't make heads or tails of it, but the order is reversed to tails or heads of it. And in Japan, they don't usually flip coins to decide things. My Japanese follower says rock, paper, scissors is king. But if they were to flip a coin, they'd refer to the underside and the top side in that order. Then, besides the binomials I asked about, people offered up other interesting examples. People say the equivalent of white and black instead of black and white in Arabic, Italian, Spanish, and Vietnamese. In Spanish, sooner or later is later or sooner. In French, safe and sound is sound and safe. And back and forth is reversed in both French and Finnish. A follower who used to teach ESL to Portuguese students remembers that they struggled with fork and knife and thunder and lightning because those orders are reversed in Portuguese. And charmingly, what we call a walkie-talkie is a talkie-walkie in both French and Croatian. So where does all this leave us with the rules I told you about last week, where things like how often we use a word determines which one comes first, or how important we perceive one element of the pair to be? Well, you'll remember I told you they were more like tendencies than rules, and this really drove that home for me. Also, cultural factors can play a role. For example, in my culture, the bride is the most important person at a wedding, but maybe the bride isn't the most important person in other cultures. All these differences also make me suspect that other things I mentioned, like how short a word is and what kind of vowels a word has, might play a bigger role than I originally gleaned, at least in some cases. And I think all these differences reinforce the idea that as much as we crave hard and fast rules for how things work or are ordered, sometimes the best we can get is hints or weak patterns. And finally, because I know everyone likes songs, I'll also pass along something a listener named Doug mentioned. He pointed out last week that I said it might sound weird if I said I had jam and bread for breakfast, but that's a line that Julie Andrews sings in the popular song Do Re Mi from The Sounds of Music. Tea, a drink with jam and bread, to rhyme with sew, a needle pulling thread. So jam and bread might actually not sound so odd to people after all. Anyway, thanks for the question and to all the people on Twitter who answered my call for help. It turned out to be fascinating. Finally, I have a Familect story from Leslie.
Hi, Mignon. Love, love, love your podcast. I am calling about a word that our family uses. I don't think any other family uses. And it's called dramming, D-R-A-M-M-I-N-G. And it stands for being dramatic. So my niece, we started with her because she's very, very dramatic. And then we kid her and like, oh, you're dramming again. And it makes everybody smile. So that's it. But thank you again. I'm Leslie in Nashville. Okay, bye.
Thanks, Leslie. I love that. If you want to call with the story of your Familect, a word your family and only your family uses, you can leave a voicemail at 833-214-GIRL. Call from a nice quiet place and I might play it on the show. I'm Mignon Fogarty, better known as Grammar Girl. Thanks to my editor, Adam Cecil, and my audio engineer, Nathan Sims. Our assistant manager is Emily Miller, and our marketing and publicity assistant is Davina Tomlin, who estimates that they consume about 9 cups of tea a day. And our ad operations specialist is Morgan Christensen. That's all. Thanks for listening. Hey, it's Mignon. If you want to do more to hone your communication skills, then check out Think Fast, Talk Smart, produced by the Stanford Graduate School of Business and hosted by my friend and Stanford lecturer, Matt Abrahams. You may remember Matt from his interview on the show back in September when he shared his top tips for becoming a better writer and speaker. Think Fast, Talk Smart is his Webby award-winning podcast, which has been downloaded 41 million times and has been the number one career podcast in more than 95 countries. So you know it's worth your time. Whether you're making a wedding toast or presenting at work, strong speaking skills are critical to success in business and in life, which is why Matt sits down with experts every week to talk about the best tips to unlock your communication potential. Hear from pros like neuroscientist Andrew Huberman on how to manage speaking anxiety, speechwriter and best-selling author Dan Pink on how to take risks in your communication, and psychologist Kelly McGonigal on how to harness nervous energy to fuel powerful presentations. So what are you waiting for? Listen to Think Fast, Talk Smart every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. And tell Matt I said hi.